G. Ricardo, Josh, and Michael on the airwaves. Starting it off with that drink of the day. Just a little banter, then we hit in the topics. This ain't just a segment, nah, we spitting logic. And ending it with the final thoughts. Cause this podcast headed straight to the top. Yeah, so get ready, go ahead and sit back. Cause you are now tuned to the Warehouse Rant.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Warehouse Rats podcast. I am just one of the hosts.
Joshua.
Oh, wait. I'm Josh.
I am the older Warehouse Rats host.
I don't think you are.
Ricardo. By spirit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Actually, you know what? I think Mike is the oldest by spirit.
Wisdom.
Okay, wisdom.
To each their own. Fellas, how are you?
You know what? Micah was giving me a hard time because I just woke up from a nap. But you know what? I feel relaxed, rejuvenated. It's 2022. Plus, you know, it's cold outside, and us Russians love the cold.
It's just a new side of you I haven't seen before, being cold. Never seen that before. And like, usually you have this energy that radiates. Not to say your energy's bad. It's just I'm trying to adapt.
Okay.
It's just lower than I'm used to. I'm used to you just like coming in like a bowl, a wrecking ball, Miley Cyrus style. And right now I feel like... You're struggling the fluff.
Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I like Justin.
There are some days just watching you two go back and forth is just like a treat in itself. you have this weird back and forth chemistry. It's
kind of cute.
It doesn't make sense.
It is a little cute, too. It's like, aww.
It's like we're contradictions.
Very much so. Hey, I saw you two at the... place of
employment,
and I've never seen you guys coexist so well in the same habitat. Why was a hug and handshake not shared after?
Oh,
because
teamwork.
I would like
Ricardo refuses to hug me. He won't hug me at all.
I would like to go first. You know, he just went first. I want to say that it's mostly because it's COVID season and. I'm not trying to get sick.
You're using that as a cop-out.
I'm vaccine wax, bitch.
Exactly.
And I'm vaccinated as well.
Okay, so then we're like triple safe.
So, go ahead. I was going to say, let's get to the root cause of you speak so much about men holding hands.
Yes.
Not so much about hugging. I'll give you that one. But whenever I extend the hand to you, you pull out this COVID card, which is... just a cop out in my opinion.
I'll shake anybody's hand,
but not mine or Josh's.
No, I'll shake your. It just
is it because we're white?
No.
Oh,
I think it's because
it's racial.
There's no racial body part in me.
What?
I think it's mostly because it's shaking the hands is a very in my culture. It's very very domesticated, very adult-like, and I don't want to be adult-like.
Well, then why not hugs? Hugs are an adult. Hugs are for everybody.
Pretty gay.
What?
Whoa.
What?
No.
Hugs are gay?
No, they're not gay.
Ricardo.
Okay, let me take that back.
I hug men all the time.
You just go up to random men and just hug them?
Not random. I'm not asking you to hug a random man.
Have you hugged your coworker?
He hugs me all the time.
No. Really?
He's like, hey, Josh, have a good day, man. Like, when I'm leaving for the day, he'll be like, all right, man, have a good day. And he'll give me a couple. Like, the first time he did it, I was, like, kind of thrown back. I was like, I wasn't ready for it. I was like, oh. I'm like, I guess this is a thing? And you're cool.
I think what I'm going to do one day, Josh.
Yeah?
I'm just going to go in for a hug and a kiss on the forehead.
I'm going to cry the day that happens.
I mean, you already put your belly on his back.
I know.
How is hugging?
I mean, if anything, the belly on the back was worse.
Yeah.
No, I think hugging, it takes the friendship to a whole new level.
Are you afraid of commitment?
Yeah.
Buddy.
Aren't we all?
No.
I'm not afraid to hug.
No.
But it's like
I love hugs.
Yeah, I don't mind it. But it is how you hug. I'm not trying to like full scale to arm you. Like
so just like a sideways hug?
No, because that's weird. Just a manly like shake of the hands, pat on the back.
Oh, okay, I can do that.
That's a hug.
That's like an entry hug for me.
That's a bro hug. That's not a hug.
I bro hug.
Okay.
I'm not talking like.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I'll take a handshake.
Okay. I think at the end of the recording of this podcast, we need to have like a three-way hug where we each just put a hand on each other's backs and there's just a nice warm embrace. But see, you can't count it as a double hand from one person, so it's not a legit hug. But even though you have two separate hands on you, it'll just be a nice warm embrace.
Yeah, I think thinking back, like I think my dad used to give me hugs sometimes, but it was kind of like it was really weird because it was like they weren't like hugs like your standard American hug. They're more like
are Mexican hugs different?
No, they're the same.
well, then why do you say American hug?
I don't know because it could be like an Eskimo hug. I don't know
what.
I don't know.
What's
an
Eskimo hug? I don't know. Are you talking like Eskimo kisses?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, Eskimo hug. But it would be kind of like a side hug,
like a side embrace.
Yeah, like a side embrace. Gotcha. It's just as warm, not physically, but just emotionally, mentally, it's just as warm.
I can't remember ever hugging my dad. We just shake hands.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he extends his hands.
Oh, fuck. I hug my dad all the time. Like, anytime I see him, like, and I, like, hang out with him, anytime, like, I head home, I always give him a hug.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's just not in him to do so.
Oh, no.
Well, like, maybe, Micah, you should, 2022, I think, one, you should give your dad a hug. Two, say I love you.
You're trying to turn the cards on me. You're hugging first.
Three. I can't think of three right now, but once I think of three, I will let you know.
All right. Once we shake hands, me and you. Nah, I can't commit to that. It'd be uncomfortable. It takes two parties.
I remember. Some beer? I'm trying to remember.
Two parties and some beer.
No, my dad had told me the story about the first time like he really hugged his dad. And if you've ever met my grandfather, at least growing up, he was not in a very approachable person.
Right.
And I think like one of the... What? No,
I was like, do you know his grandfather?
That's not my go-to filler word. I'm sorry.
But,
I apologize.
After this one particular incident where they ended, and I think my dad like initiated this hug, and like it kind of threw my granddad off. But like ever since then, they always hug now, which is great because you know, fuck, they're both getting up there in age.
Yeah.
So it you know it's really good, and I love hugs. Hugs are the best. Like my son, every now and again, he'll try to get away with the side hug. I'd be like, what is that? He'd be like, well, it's a hug. I'm like, what is that? And he's like, okay, Dad. And then he'll run over and like do the big old bear hug and everything. And it's like, yeah, that's nice.
See, I don't remember giving my dad, I give my mom hugs all the time. My brothers, I don't think I've ever even touched them.
You won't even tell your brothers you love them.
I mean,
that baffles me.
Is it really?
I can get not hugging your brothers, like, just because of the physical piece, but like the whole I love you, like, I mean, it doesn't need to be said like routinely, but the fact that it's like never been established or said that you know of is concerning.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
So tell us about that, Ricardo.
No, I.
Why won't you tell your brothers you love them?
I love you, Ricardo.
I love you too, Micah.
How hard was that?
I.
See, I don't think you really mean it.
I don't know. I just
Are you afraid that your brothers will like not reciprocate and then you made yourself vulnerable and then they're not like they're not giving you what you need in return?
So I guess that's a very good analogy, a very good way to look at it. If I'm not reciprocated, then I'm going to feel very unease because the reciprocation was not reciprocated. I used reciprocated a few times. A
little bit.
It's the new word of the year.
2022.
You did well, man.
Hey, no, I don't know. I really don't know.
Interesting.
How's Miguel doing? For the listeners, if you don't know, Miguel is the middle brother of the Zarco Alcaraz tribe.
Alcaraz Zarco.
Okay.
He's doing pretty good. I think that I sent him a text message because people keep asking me, like, so how's the new job? Like, is he liking it? Blah, blah. You know, they want to know a little bit more details. I'm just like, well, honestly, I never really asked him if he liked it or not.
What?
Well, do you not even talk to your family?
Well, first of all, they work on, I mean, he works on Second Chef, right?
So
I saw him, like, on Sunday.
Did you talk to him? You see him all the time, but you never say anything.
No, I think I saw him Saturday and Sunday.
But did you talk to him?
I did. So I asked him about work, right? Kind of like a little bit of how it was. Mm-hmm. But I didn't ask him, like, so do you like it? I just simply asked, like, how's work?
That's fair.
Just kind of like a little bit of detail. So I text him. I was like, hey, they keep asking me, like, they want to know if you like it or not. And he's like, I like it. Tell him that I like it so much I want to marry it. I'm just like, what the fuck? Could the answer is that?
That's a good answer.
That's hilarious.
That's good.
I'm just like, okay.
Good for him. He's happy.
Yeah, I guess the money definitely makes a big difference where he gained a little bit more money.
It's not about the money. It's about the culture.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's fucking load of bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess he's making a little bit more money. Like, I'm thinking that he's not putting overtime right now just because.
Nice.
I'm assuming because he's new, but it could be just that's kind of the way they operate now.
See, like,
not now, but just the way they operate.
I think that, especially where we work, we have an approach, an idea about how places like that run. And I think, at least I know for me for sure, there's an assumption that any other place like ours, they all run the same, which isn't the case.
Right.
All of them run completely different. Like, there's some similarities, but anybody that I've talked to that has worked other places that has also worked where we work, the first thing they tell me is that it is so less stressful and that whatever they're doing is so fucking easy.
When they leave our place of employment or when they get...
When they leave.
When they leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
I recently talked to somebody we worked with, and he was just like, yeah, I love it. It's one of the easiest jobs I've ever had, and I'm making decent money, and it's low stress. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody that has given me any negative feedback as far as, like, the place that they love to. Granted, there is one I think about, but I'm sure that he's going to be better pretty much anywhere he goes, so, you know.
Fair enough.
But I think I was talking to one person, actually, and they told me that they're like, Ricardo, it's totally different. It's they're like, that place is a very, you know, granted, I'm not, this is not my opinion, but they said that that's a very toxic place to work at.
Mm.
That's kind of like, you know, verbatim what they said is like, it's a very toxic place and you should get out pretty much. I'm like, okay.
Our place?
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I look at it two ways, right? Well, I look at it a whole bunch of different ways, but
two specifically.
Yeah, yeah. So I look at it like, yes, the place where we work at is not the best. However, there are a lot of pros. There's also a lot of cons. But, you know, just because a place that has a very unique and you know, even better, the better culture. There's also a possibility that you can go into a place that has even a worse culture. Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah,
like they say, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And even if it is, you know, that means you've got to mow it a little bit more. I don't know.
I don't think you know how grass works.
I know exactly how it works. I'm Mexican. Too soon? Okay.
But see, no, that's okay. You can say that, though. All right. So, my God. Beverages, gentlemen. Micah, what are you sipping on? I assume it's the nectar of the gods, of course.
Very much so. So going back to last week's podcast, you know, I've given up the sipping of the alcoholic variety, and I'm dabbling in artisan water. So each week I will be bringing one of the finest waters from around the world to taste test and let you know how it smells. So today I bring the water from the great mountains of the Swiss, and it's called Evian.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Not a sponsor.
That is me twisting the cap off. This is me taking a sip. That is some of the finest, freshest water from the Swiss mountains. Thank you.
You sound like Bobby Boucher's little brother.
I'm trying to understand what's with the voice. I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
Well, guys, when I drink water from a different country, I try to emulate being one of the...
You think that's how Swiss people talk? People.
You know, it's my interpretation. And
your perception of your reality.
Possibly. I don't know. Leading with the Swiss flavored water, Ricardo, can you please share what you are sipping on?
Yes. I was at the alcoholic beverage dispensary.
How many have you had so far?
I had like half. And I could not figure out what to buy. And I was just like, you know what? I am going to take this to my good friend Josh and see if he can indulge in some Bud Light Lime. It's surprising. I think I only had it like once before. It's surprisingly kind of good. It has this like almost like little sweet taste to it.
Yeah. No, I've enjoyed Bud Light Lime. I like especially stuff like that that has that definite flavor additive. Mm-hmm. That's like a go-to summer thing for me.
Oh, okay.
That's honestly, like, the beers that I grabbed tonight are kind of out of place for me for wintertime.
Mm, okay.
So, I already had a can of the Mr. Blue Sky. Yeah,
that's good.
This is always a good one.
That's a good go-to.
They have a Mr. Blue Sky that is, like, pineapple-infused. It literally tastes like the exact same thing. It has a hint of pineapple smell. That's it.
Mm. Who's the manufacturer of that wonderful can?
Griffin Claw, right here from the great state of Michigan.
It's actually really good.
Yeah, cool. It is very good. My second one of the evening is from Schwartz Brew. It's the Soft Parade. This one definitely, like when it's cold out, is not that great. And like, it's not bad, but it's definitely not one that I would get again. My third one, Ricardo, I actually got it for you, buddy.
Oh, nice. I'll take it.
Here you go.
Oh.
Will you hug him and say you love him?
Josh, I really like you.
I think that's
worse. I like you as a friend.
Oh, nice. It's a El Ligero Mexican lager with fresh lime.
Yeah.
From Griffin Claw.
Oh, shit. That's Griffin Claw, too? Yeah. I didn't even do that on purpose.
Nice. I will indulge in this. Should I open this right now?
Nah, man. You can finish one you got.
it has your stereotypical low rider bike with the big tall handles.
That's stereotyping?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, not too much. Nothing like
crazy. Is it stereotyping or is it just culture?
It's a cultural thing.
I've never ridden a bike with long handles like that.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, dude, it's a great ride. Ricardo. Like the banana seat. Yeah, no, man, that's a great ride.
Okay, maybe I had. Now I think about it.
Good.
When I was little. We used to have like a little biker gang. Like I remember it was.
Dude, every kid.
That was pretty cool.
When we were young, had a biker gang.
Sorry, I thought I was the only one.
No, dude, that was the thing. Like as kids, you'd always get your group. Dude, did you ever put like a chunk of plastic in the spokes so when you like pedaled away, it sounded like a motor?
I don't remember doing that.
Oh, I did it all the time.
I didn't
it was
do that,
great.
But it was interesting. It was kind of funny because going back to like where so I grew up. In Bangor, but before Bangor, I used to live in Lawrence, and that's where I remember like people. So we used to live in a farm, mm-hmm. and like the owners, they had had kids and his cousins, and we used to just ride around for a while, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
like a little biker gang on the farm. I don't know who's gonna beat up.
Well, see, like, the putting the little piece of plastic in the spokes was the closest I ever got to, like, getting a dirt bike as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But then, of course, you know, most kids, when they had dirt bikes, they were like, all right, yeah, this is so cool. And when I was done with my dirt bike, I was always like, yeah,
I've
it was
always,
terrible.
Yeah, I was always really jealous of people who had nice things.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Do you want a hug?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Have a few more beers. You'll be hugging everybody.
I do become very more like lovable, like not lovable, more affectionate.
Affectionate. Okay. Affectionate. See, one of these days, what I am gonna do is I'm gonna have my wife come in here and do like a fake out hug. We're just like, here, Ricardo, come give me a hug, and you're like, oh, okay. And then, like, at the last minute, I'll sweep in between you two, so there'll be like a Josh sandwich.
No, I. You
it'll
know,
be magical.
Honestly, it's not that hugs. No, fuck it. I ain't gonna lie. I think, oh, I just had an epiphany.
Holy shit.
So, I guess growing up, I was a smelly kid, right?
A what
kid? I was a smelly kid. For
smelly? A smelly kid?
A smelly kid.
You stung?
I was like the smelly kid for like, probably around fourth grade, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think fourth grade, that's where I lost my stank. Maybe fifth grade. I could be wrong.
You lost your stank?
Yes.
In fifth grade?
Yes. Talk to me, Mike. Oh, no, Michael. Joshua?
Joshua? Yo, Joshua. I'm trying to understand this kid stank. What do you mean you lost it? Don't you, like, gain, like, worse smelling stinks as you get older?
Right, but so I think a lot of it had to do just with the personal hygiene. Like,
were you dirty?
I wasn't dirty. I guess
you just weren't very clean.
I just no. I just I didn't. I hated taking showers, just like I still do.
Yeah.
I hate showering. I don't know why. Just like once I'm in the shower, like, I love it. Like I'll stay in there and be like, oh yes. But the idea of it, I was just like, oh, fuck. It's like a chore to me. You know what I mean?
That's fair. I was the same way as a kid. Maybe it's just farm kids that are like that. Because I grew up on a farm too.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. So going back to where I was going, so being the smelly kid, I think that it once you invade my bubble, like I feel like the hugging is so personable. Like I don't want you to like.
Are you afraid that I'm gonna think that you smell bad?
Yeah. Yes. Essentially. Aww, yes. Yeah.
Buddy.
I wouldn't say
that to your face, though.
Well, yeah, but I guess it's some PTSD that I have going, you know, from growing up. So
that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. You know what? I'll respect your boundaries, and when you are ready for this hug,
right,
you let me know. Mm. I got it locked and loaded, man.
Because even like women, like I mean, I love women, but I just even women, I'm just like, nah, don't touch me.
Do you spend any money on like colognes or anything?
Oh yeah,
like that?
I do all the time. Yep.
No, okay, I'm not talking like Axe body spray. No, I'm talking legit shit.
I got some fake stuff from China from the flea market, but no, I have
from the flea market.
But
maybe that's why you're so smart.
No, but I have bought some nice things. You know, nothing crazy, but
something nice. Yeah.
But it's kind of funny you say that because I used to be more into like the whole fragrances. Like I used to buy a lot of colognes and just experiment, you know.
Very nice.
I encourage you to let your natural pheromone ring.
Oh,
let the women flock from the streets.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll still hug them, but I'm just like subconsciously. I'm just like, man. Hopefully,
I don't think I stink.
Yeah. I'm like, hopefully I don't stink. You know, it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know.
See, I like especially like during the summer. Like at work when like, you know, and I sweat like crazy. And so when I get home, I smell terrible. Like I do. I just smell. Even if like I put deodorant on and everything, by the time I get home, I just smell bad.
You smell like a man.
Sure. My kids think it's bad because as soon as I get home, they're like, hey, Dad. I'm like, oh, man, you know what? They're like, what? I'm like, I smell terrible. They're like, oh, gross. And I'll like chase around the house. Like, oh, my God, you smell so bad. It's like, it's okay. Embrace the stink.
Embrace the stink.
It's good shit.
Okay, let me before we
do it, man. Crack it open.
Oh yeah. Oh man, it smells good.
Yeah,
it smells like straight up like lime and.
Yeah, no, it's good. I've had it before, and I was very pleasantly surprised by it. It's tasty.
So my palate is picking up some.
Use the squirrel senses. You sound like a squirrel.
It's picking up some hints of lime and a hint of hops.
Bicycle, maybe?
A hint of bicycle.
Rubber?
Some bicycle notes.
Bicycle nuts? What?
Notes. Notes.
Oh, notes. I heard nuts.
Yeah, no.
Well, Freudian slip. Maybe something's on his mind.
Yeah. No.
Oh my god.
It's okay.
Oh,
it's okay. I think I like that one a little bit better.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
It has a little bit more of lime. It has a little bit more of a sweeter taste. This has less of a sweeter taste, less of a lime taste.
Because that's Bud Light.
Oh, okay. What does that have to do with?
It's fake beer.
I mean, that's true. I can see that. I mean,
it's like Kool-Aid tries to be juice, yeah, but it really isn't.
It's like more artificial, maybe. Okay, so they can enhance the flavor. This is natural.
Oh, natural. Oh,
natural.
Indeed. All right. We're going to take a quick break before we get into this week's topic of discussion, which is a bit of a doozy. So,
doozy daisy.
Hang on tight. We will be right back. And we are back. So, last season we had an episode that I sadly had to sit out of, and you guys talked about how your perspective is your reality.
I honestly know you talking about this, bro, but you already know that my memory is really shot.
Dude, you guys don't remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I had to sit out because I was out of town.
Yeah, okay.
You two recorded at the farm.
Yeah.
You had awesome ambiance, yeah, background noise. I mean, it was a legit, a very pleasant thing to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you guys. Jesus.
No, so, I told you, like, stage three Alzheimer's. There's like 20 or so. I don't know. I forgot already.
My God. So, this is going to be considered your perspective is your reality, part two.
Okay.
So now I can actually be a part of the conversation.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So our question this week actually comes from Ricardo.
Yes.
We had a couple of conversations throughout the week, and the question came up, and it is as follows. Can happiness be achieved without grief? Now, for the listeners, we are using the informal definition of grief, which is basically troubles or annoyances, just to add a little bit of context. Ricardo, I know you have a little bit more context for this topic for us. Why don't you hit us with that?
Yeah, so this past week has been a very, I would say troubling, but there's been some things that are happening outside of, you know, in the family where there hasn't been any deaths per se, but you know, one of my uncles, I guess he got admitted to the hospital because he had like a little mini heart attack. Which the word "mini" behind a heart attack, it sounds a little ironic, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I was kicking it with one of my cousins the other day, and he was saying that his grandpa wasn't doing so well. He's been fighting cancer, like colon cancer, for quite a few years. I mean, you know, probably around closer to 20 years now. Which is a pretty long battle, to be honest. But you know, he's not doing so good. And then his son, I think he has MS. So he's a kind of wheelchair, and I mean, it's just so sad because he's not that old, to be honest. He's like probably like 44, 45 years old. So
that sucks.
Yeah, just got married not that long ago, and so it's kind of like it's one of those things that I was thinking. I was like, man, like so many bad things are happening around me. Like, can you be really, I count my blessings in a sense, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, just again, not saying that I look at other people's lives and look at like, man, I got so much, you know, so much better all the time, right? But I think that if, can you have that happiness with not knowing where you can be. You know, I guess essentially, you know, that's it's a little harder to explain, but I think it's I think you guys got the rough idea.
Right?
Yeah. Micah, can you? What is your opinion?
As far as finding happiness,
yeah, finding happiness
through grief or
Go ahead, Josh. Okay. You have a words here.
Well, let's think of to the original question.
Yes.
Can happiness be achieved without grief? To extend on that, do we know what real happiness is with the void of grief? Because, again, this is all about perception.
Right.
My perception is you have to know what a low is to understand what a high is. So, think about like a yin yang symbol.
Yes,
it has to be a balance of the two. I genuinely think happiness and grief that's what it is. I don't think you can get one without the other because if your life is just up here all the time, record happiness or what you consider to be happiness all the time, it would become very mundane and just a normal life.
And I think that's why a lot of people get kind of sad because, or I don't want to say sad, but they get in this part of their life where it becomes so mundane that it's kind of like they start losing a lot of happiness because it's like same thing. And it's kind of crazy because it's just like, you know, nothing new happens in their life. And unfortunately, if something bad happens, and then I feel like that's when they realize, like, you know what, maybe it wasn't that bad. Like, once I get through this little point of my life where,
oh yeah,
then getting back to normal, it's almost a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like getting to that, back to that mundane type of life structure, then it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, are you confused?
No, I'm not. It's a very deep topic.
Yeah.
And again, going back to last week, trying to get my mind right and things of that, I'd say the last 3 years.
You got like crazy eyes going on there. Holy shit. I got a little nervous for a second.
This is like a deep target.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd say the last 3 years, a lot of grief, especially, you know, the pandemic, just how things are changing in general and the time, you know, before the pandemic and the things that have happened in my life, I'd say, I was feeling very happy, but I did not realize how happy I was until the grief occurred.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. You know, it's kind of crazy you say that because I think I'm almost in the same situation where like going back to pre-pandemic and you know, how things were before. And it's like, you know what? I would go out and have fun and, you know, like, and then it's almost, you know, go to work and it was almost a mundane thing. But thinking back, like, it wasn't that bad. You know, it was definitely.
You almost take the normal, especially if you have a regular, not like a high, just a regular.
Right.
You start to almost take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going out to the bars, going just out hanging out and, you know, just, oh, fuck, during high pandemic point, going to the grocery store without a mask, you know. Like, I remember one of the first times, like, I went to the grocery store and forgot a mask. And it was such a fucking foreign concept. And it's just like, dude, it's like, why the fuck can't I just, I just need to go in here and get something. Right. I don't need to put anything on my face. And it's, I genuinely don't think you can have true happiness without having at least experienced some form of grief. Right. So then there's that ability to tell the difference between one or the other.
Yeah, it's kind of one, you know, going along the same lines. It's like what I was thinking. I was like, what if I did win like the lottery? Like, what is the meaning of life after you win lottery? Because what I'm trying to say is, like, right now, your whole, I won't say your whole existence, but one of the biggest reasons that you go to work is to provide for your family, right? So for you and your family. So what, once you already accomplished that, what is your next move? Like, and there's almost like not,
oh dude, You just opened Pandora's box question. No, yeah, but, oh man, why wasn't that the question?
But honestly, like what is after that? Like there's, yeah. I mean, granted, there is a lot of things you can do with money. Honestly, you mm-hmm. can go on vacations, nonprofit, this and that. But eventually, I feel like, you know, like what the fuck does Bill Gates like? What makes him happy? What is, because if he wants to get on the jet and go to fucking Europe, like he can do that. And not in, I mean, but even that gets old after a while. Going, you know, buying a new car gets old after a while. You know what I mean?
See, I think.
So what can, I think, what can make you happy when you're that rich? Or
well, see, I think that's why, like, folks who win the lottery and they spend their money on all kinds of crazy shit and then all of a sudden they're broke again.
Right.
It's like, because I think these people thought that they would be happy if they kept just getting what they thought they always wanted.
Right.
My wife and I have had this exact conversation. What if we won, you know, the Mega Millions and shit like that? And we always, like, go through, like, okay, so what would you want to do with it? And all of my stuff is very practical. Like, I'd want to pay off my debt.
Right.
Put a new roof on the house. Get my fucking stairs redone because they're starting to fall apart, which is terrible. And, like, just, like, finishing stuff around the house. And then maybe, you know, make the studio, well, one, make it a little warmer. Yeah, so cold. It's fucking cold in here. You know, so it's just, it's very practical. Mm-hmm. But then even after that, even if you win a whole bunch of money, all the practical stuff, you still have all this money left. And right. It's like, I think we're getting off topic with this, yeah. But it's, money isn't the answer to happiness.
Right.
It can definitely be an avenue to a part of you that feels like you would be happy if you had these things done. I genuinely think that happiness is all about the individual. Definitely a perception. Like, I've met people who, like, I had a, you know, rough go of it financially and, you know, shit like that, and a very humbling childhood at times. I've met people who have had it way worse.
Right.
But their outlook on life is so fucking positive, and they are genuinely happy people.
Yeah.
And there are days I find myself being very jealous of that. It's like, okay, so what am I doing wrong? It's like, you are so happy in your life right now, and you've had it in technical standpoints worse off than I have. Where do you find this happiness at? And I think that it all comes back to the individual. I think it's a conscious choice to be like, okay, I am going to choose happiness over despair. I'm not going to let my grief get on top of me so much to where it destroys who I think I am, and I'm just going to persevere. And it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I think there has to be a very good balance, because if you focus too much on that grief, you know, that life event, that life changing event, or that that relative that's sick, or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, you make, even if there's things that you have in your mind that is so bad for you, it could be because your studio is so cold that it makes your life a fucking living hell, right?
Whoa! I feel attacked.
If you focus so much on that point, then it's kind of like there has to be a level of like, hey, at least I have a studio. Mm-hmm. Hey, at least I can do this, you know, and get paid money for it, right?
Yeah.
Sponsors, we're waiting for you. Yeah, I mean, just kind of focusing on that positivity, that out, different outlook, the perspective, you know.
Yeah.
Micah, you'd rather.
I'm taking it in. You guys have a lot to offer. I guess when it comes to your perspective, yes, it's definitely amongst the individual. Takes a lot of self reflection and again. Much easier said than done.
Yes.
You know, you don't know your lows until you experience them. You don't know the highs until you feel those. I think that's just a natural progression of life, and you need to experience both to develop that perspective and I think experiencing a high and experiencing a low creates a level of mindfulness for you to be able to obtain what you think will make you find enjoyment out of life. Are you going to be completely happy? Probably not. But, you know, that's life. I don't think you can achieve 100%, you know, happiness based on one's perspective. Yeah. Unless you're just a crazy person, and I would love to have that kind of mind.
Right. So what you're trying to say is that you can't reach happiness 100% fully, which is understandable. I mean, I'm not trying
You're always going to want more.
Okay.
In my opinion, I think it's all, this is off topic, but if we're going like based off American culture, it's just fast paced, more, more, more.
Yeah, it is.
New. Yeah. Whereas, let's say we went to like a third world country, right. You know, you might find someone with a little shack, right. Happily married with a few kids, and mm-hmm. you know,
well, like 10 or 12, but you know,
whatever it may be, you know, and
with happiness comes children.
Well, like, even if we kept it in America, people who like downsized their living to, let's say, like the tiny house movement that seemed to be much bigger like a few years ago than it is now. You were having people who were living in, you know, let's say a 2,000 square foot home, downsizing to a 500 square foot home.
Right.
And, but they seem so at peace about it. And and maybe that's just it. Maybe it isn't grief. It's maybe that we just have so much more of other shit that occupies our attention span that we misinterpret it as grief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we're missing out on happiness because we're simply distracted by all this other stuff that we surround ourselves with. Like, there was this documentary I saw about this guy who his journey of building his tiny home and stuff like that. He bought a plot of land, like, but it was like acreage land, like in a beautiful part of the country. And, you know, of course, in comparison, his house was super tiny on this huge plot of land. And his morning view on his little porch that he had was this beautiful, like, field open up into, like, a valley and then mountains in the distance. I was like, fucking, that would be an amazing thing to wake up to every day.
But then you'll be kind of sad that you don't, that you live in a place where you can't make a living. Then you'll be kind of disappointed. I mean, you know.
I'm sure that would be.
Unless you have a remote job that you can.
Right. Make. Like, and if you do, that sounds quite perfect. I mean, if I was one of those lucky bastards that could work from home right now, and that was my home, right. I'd fucking have it made. I'd be one of those people saying, "Hey, I want to work from home full time." Like, even if at some point we ever get to come back, oh fuck, I've been in it, you know, from the beginning. But I'm talking about, you know, people who haven't. If there was ever that option, it's like I wouldn't want to go back.
Right.
You know, because how awesome would it be? That is your office.
Right.
Compared to a fucking 3x3 cubicle.
But
that you have to share with, you know, Karen next door.
But it gives a different definition of bringing your work home, though.
Fuck, I need a rim shot out of here.
No, I think that one of the reasons that maybe they're probably going away from the tiny homes is because of COVID. You want a little bit more open space area. So 500 square feet is not the best square footage to not spread COVID.
Man, you're really worried about spreading COVID. You won't hug us. You won't live in a tiny house with us.
I just got my.
You get your booster?
No, yeah, I have. I've had it for a little bit.
Oh, why have we not talked about this?
I don't know. You never asked me.
Are you happy that you got your booster?
I mean, it's not like I was excited.
So you?
I only had it for about a month.
So you had some grief, but you're happy about it.
That's deep.
Man, I feel terrible, guys. Like, I've never been so frustrated on the podcast before. not with you guys, with myself. Yes, I'm a very confused individual, but I'm absolutely lost right now. I'm just being honest, and I've never felt this way on the podcast before. Right. So I just want to let the listeners know.
No, Micah
is having an internal struggle right now.
Well, talk that out with us, man. What's your struggle with?
I simply don't understand, and I can't even put it into words.
Don't understand what, though?
Okay, your perspective is your reality. Can you find happiness without grief? I understand perspective is your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness without grief, I kind of understand, because you need to experience both sides.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't have much to. I'm lost. I'm sorry. I've never been this frustrated before.
No. That's the crazy thing about perception. That it's so subjective. Like comedy. You know, you have some people who listen to particular comedians who think they're so funny, but then you have somebody else who saw the exact same comedy show and they're offended, they're frustrated, they're angry at the jokes that were told, and it's like, why? You know, what about that was so offensive to you? It's like, they're fucking jokes. It's like, fucking get over it. And like, no, this was offensive for this reason. It's like, when it comes to real talk of like why people are happy or why people are sad, it's all about perspective. It's all about how you view what makes you happy. So give me, what can you name off one thing that you could without a doubt say that makes you happy? Doesn't matter what it is.
I like hiking.
Okay, so what about hiking do you enjoy?
The adventure, the thrill of not knowing, the life or death risk, just that adrenaline rush, getting away and physically exerting your body.
Okay. So, and I'm sure there are listeners who 100% agree with you. That sounds terrible to me. I mean, but what I get from hiking is, it's not that part. It is the getting away from society. Some of the best hiking I've ever done was on Isle Royale National Park. It is so disconnected that it's quiet. Even like around here where it's technically quote unquote quiet, there's still just fucking noise. But here, like, or at least at Isle Royale, it was one of the first times I ever could truly say it's quiet here. Because and that's something I always got out of hiking, was that it was a chance to get somewhere quiet instead of, you know, physically exerting yourself. It's like, well, that sounds a lot like working out. I don't like to work out. So, I mean, fuck, I have a treadmill. I've used it before. I don't like to use it, you know, but I got terrible knees anyway. But again, that's the whole point about perspective, is that it's all about individual. You could have four very similar people, but they could see the same situation completely different. And that's all about background, personal preferences, and all this other stuff. So, like, so we say, you know, your perspective is your reality, like, almost jokingly and very blanket statement. But then I think we forget that everybody's perspective can be so drastically different.
This is based on life experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like hiking, too, for a different reason.
Why do you like hiking?
I think that the best hiking that I've done was at Mackinac Island. I like seeing the horses and the tourists. Once I got to the other part, I liked it too, except for like all the walking. A lot of walking. Boy, was I tired towards the end.
That's fair.
And tired and hungry. I wasn't that sleepy, but I was definitely hungry. No, I wasn't that hungry. I was definitely tired. My quads were killing me. Once I got out of the truck, I cannot walk. But it was fun. No, ultimately, the views were definitely. I like the views. The views, you have to be there to actually to have that feeling. It's totally different.
Yeah.
So legit, the views were definitely breathtaking.
So, right now is a perfect example. We used one common thing of hiking, but three completely different approaches to it, or perspectives, if you want, to the exact same thing. And so when you talk about something as open as happiness, hiking is very specific.
Yes.
Like, there is one way to hike. I mean, but happiness can be achieved so many different ways. And so when you ask the question, can you achieve happiness without grief? It's like, okay, but then that's specific to each individual. What I consider to be grief could be very different for both of you, or even it could be different from Ricardo to Micah. So it's one thing where we're probably going to, if we have a textbook answer, chances are that answer is going to be different between all three of us because of our perspective.
One thing that I really liked about hiking too, getting there was actually pretty cool too.
What do you mean getting there?
So the actual hiking part. So no lie.
So the walking part.
The walking part. Besides the fact that I got really tired. So actually getting there was pretty cool because I think that like when we went like the day after when we went to like the other place like the state park, I could definitely understand where you're coming from as far as like, I mean, I don't know if this is what you were saying, but just being able to get to it so easily, I think it just kind of takes away a little bit of the nostalgia of it. That feeling.
The adventure?
The adventure, there you go. The adventure of it. Where when we did that hike before, it was like you're walking, you're expecting all of a sudden, like, you don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, you see something. But once you walked a little, few more miles, you know, it's just a different feeling.
Yeah.
It's my happiness.
It's like sex, you know. You ease into it. You go fast. You slow down. You know. But there's a happy ending.
Hopefully,
some bumps along the way.
Hopefully, you last a little bit longer than the last time.
That's not a concern. I think it's just how you move your hips. How is the other person?
You're interlocking hips.
Are you guys in tune? You going sideways? Are you lying on your side? Is she upside down? A lot of different ways.
Vampire?
Are we still talking about hiking?
I mean, that's your perspective.
Oh my God.
Wow. Josh, I think that's going to wrap it up for for your perspective is your reality, point 2.0.
Is she upside down?
She's a vampire.
That was good. So... yeah, I mean, fuck, we could be here all night talking about perspective because I think it's one of those things that definitely doesn't, it isn't something that can just be easily answered, right. And it's one of those things where as long as there is an understanding that everybody's perspective is different and there's different approaches and the ideals are different, but essentially whatever you're striving for, if that end goal is the same, then there shouldn't be any problems, you know?
I hear you.
You know?
I hear you. It's deep.
The beer is starting to hit me, so, I mean, I'm starting to spout out gibberish, so.
It's okay. That's what the Warehouse Reds podcast is all about. Spilling out gibberish.
Sorry.
Okay.
I do that when I feel like it's an awkward moment. I need to feel the silence.
Okay.
So, fuck. We're going to take another break. We'll be back for the final five.
Final five.
So, don't go anywhere.
Only 5 minutes, guys.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's an applause now for the
button. Yeah. So. Throw me off.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Ian here. Do you enjoy atypical conversations about history? Do you like an occasional sip or three of whiskey? Then come on over to the Bar of Questionable Life Choices and join me for an episode of Why Whiskey. We're a history podcast with a whiskey problem. Or maybe we're a whiskey podcast with a history problem. We'll let you decide all that. On Why Whiskey, I'm often joined by guests as we cover historical events in America and around the world and the people that were involved. Throughout the show, we will taste a wide variety of whiskeys and share some knowledge about what it is that we are drinking. So if any of this interests you, come on up to the bar, grab a glass, and let's share some great stories. Cheers.
And we are back to finish up the episode with the final five.
Final five.
But there's three of us, so it's kind of like the final 15.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true.
So,
I'm going to get my timer out.
Oh, okay. Who would like to get us started this evening? Micah says no. Ricardo, would you like to get us started?
You know what? I am going to take the leadership on this one, guys.
Take the leadership?
Yes. I don't think that's how you say it.
Take the lead.
My bad. Let me get my timer because you're very critical on time. So I'm going to make sure.
I feel a whole lot of judgment coming off of that sentence.
Yes. Okay. All right, guys. So
and go.
All right. So, you know, we all love women. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially when they're upside down.
Vampires?
Hello, vampire women. You know, I've always loved women, and I still do. Now I am in a place.
Don't drop this on me, Ricardo. I'll love you regardless. No, I'm not going that route. You're coming out.
No, I'm not going that route.
My God.
No. You know, nowadays, because I am more sophisticated, more, what's the word, more mature. No? Okay. So.
No, you're totally mature.
Okay. So.
okay. go.
So, a few years ago, I remember one of my friends, like, a long time ago, one of my best friends growing up, he told me, he's like, yeah, And this took me, and I still remember, right? He's like, oh, yeah, for some reason, I hate makeup. Like, women wear makeup, and, like, it's so fucking fake. And I'm just like, I kind of looked at him, just like, are you serious? You know, I'm like, and he was totally serious, right? Mm. So I kind of, like, put that in the back of my mind, and I'm just like, you know, for lack of words, you're fucking dumb. I love women with makeup, you know, like, it's not even a thought. But nowadays, because I am more mature, more sophisticated, I want the real women, per se. Mm-hmm. I have a struggle. My struggle is, like, okay, I love women, their natural beauty. However, I'm not going to lie. Women that wear makeup, when they wear makeup, most of the time, they look beautiful. Like, I'm just like, I just, it's such a hard, you know, it's a hard thing to really balance in my mind. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, what is... So, you got three minutes. I want to know you guys' opinion. Makeup, no makeup. Does it make you fake? Does it? You know, there's a lot of questions in this. But what is your opinion about women wearing makeup as a whole? Micah,
I think my preference is no makeup, just okay. natural beauty. To be honest, but I mean, media and society.
Yeah.
And shit. Makeup can do a lot for a face.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt. Like, a five is now an eight, you know, and an eight just went off the scale.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anything's possible with makeup. But for me, I'm a purist. I like all natural women, but right. but hairless, preferably.
That's what they go say. We say hairless.
What was that?
No, because he doesn't say that. Preferably.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was
yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, how do you feel? What do you feel?
Yeah, minimalist, just because, like, a little makeup isn't bad. Right. Especially, like, I'm really into, like, high contrast, so, like, my wife has a tendency to do, like, you know, a decent eyeliner kind of stuff, okay. So, like, it makes her eyes really pop, which I really enjoy.
Yes.
So, it's...
no, yes.
Motherfucker. So, I mean, you know, so definitely some isn't right. bad, but, like... To those who, like, literally become other people,
yeah,
when they put on makeup, that's yeah. just too much.
Yeah, I've seen there's a few girls that I know that are, like, I feel like they're prettier without makeup, or at least from what I know, that they're not wearing makeup than they are with makeup. Do you ever get that feeling? Have you known any women that, like, look a little bit better without makeup? Where so essentially, so one time, once they go out, like, if you see them out in public, like at a party or whatever, you could tell, like, they have a little bit more, I don't know what the fuck you would call it, more mascara, like the rosy cheeks and
foundation.
The eyeliner, not the eyeliner, but the whole, you know, the whole shit, whatever it is. But sometimes they overdo it. Like, when you can definitely tell, like, they overdo it. I'm just like,
they look plastic almost.
Yeah. But then again, it's just like, I'm kind of torn, because that I just think it's a little bit fake, even though I love it.
I agree. Makeup can definitely be overdone. Yeah. I think that's just when it's done wrong, though.
Mm.
They don't really know how to apply, but who am I to tell someone how to put makeup on? I've never done it.
That's fair. That's true. That is fair.
You know, the Egyptians started makeup a long time ago.
Oh, wait. Why is that? Oh, because I didn't turn it back up. I got to do the slider.
That's my five, guys.
So. All right. That was good. That's something we need to come back to, Ricardo.
Yeah, we do.
That was good. I'd like to talk more about
very,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I got
it. Yes.
Micah?
Yes, Josh.
Would you like to carry on, or would you like to finish us up, and I will chime in?
You know, I think I'll go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. All right, man.
I think so. You know, this podcast, Warehouse Rats, it started with a camaraderie in the workplace. You know, establishing relationships with people you work with that you actually can tolerate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I am having a very challenging time coming into the workplace each day.
Oh.
That's not good.
That's not good.
And I don't think it's the people, but for whatever reason, I'm putting up a wall.
Like a Trump wall?
Yep.
maybe to that extent, not as you know, politically or racially driven.
Okay.
More just character and how you carry yourself. I guess what I'm getting at, I have a moral dilemma with our establishment, because I do not see eye to eye with many of our peers.
Mm. On, like, just every level imaginable, or just on specific levels?
I've never felt so out of place. What I mean by that is I literally cannot relate. There's no common ground.
Okay. Mm.
And that's what makes it kind of challenging to come into the workplace when you're a lone wolf.
Right.
And you're on your own.
Well.
See, Ricardo and I don't have that problem. I mean, like, we're brother brides, so.
Yeah. We're really, like, literally brothers and brides.
I mean, there are times we just share the same penis. So.
Whoa.
do we?
shh. It's okay.
No, I honestly think, I don't want to cut too much into your time, but if I can give you a little Bangor High School education, if you go back to Kill a Mockingbird, right? One of, what's the little girl's name?
What?
To Kill a Mockingbird, did you ever
know? Yes, I know exactly. So, why the fuck are you bringing that up now?
So here's where I'm going with this, right? So one of the best ways to have a great conversation, or kind of try to figure out what you have in common, is to bring up something that they're mostly, you know, that something that they like to do, or, you know, a great conversational piece, right? And then the more you talk, I think the more you get into, like, you start, you know, like, finding more similarities than you really realize.
I think I'm stuck in a very dark place because I have no interest in getting to know anyone.
See, that's the issue,
and
right,
that's
there.
The wall.
It's not that you guys, it's not that you don't have similarities or anything to really have a great conversation, a great coworker environment. It's just that you're putting up that wall.
Exactly. And I don't know how to break it down.
Oh, man. I don't
so
know.
It's like each day I wake up, I'm like a minute later, just pushing off the dread to go to work.
Right.
When I'm there, I kick ass.
Right.
But that's because I like the work.
Right.
And I want to like the people. But there's a wall, and I don't know how to break that down. So this final five rant is asking assistance from...
I didn't mean to burp at the mic. That's my bad.
My friend Ricardo and Josh.
I think we should take you to...
International maybe, land?
No. Maybe we should take you to like a team working environment, like they used to call it Pretty Lake. I'm not sure what it's called now.
Pretty Lake.
So essentially, you only got to high ropes courses, and like you got to get over a wall,
build trust. Yeah, with your
yeah. Speed. Essentially, it's called Pretty Lake. I don't know what it is now, but yeah, we need to get you and your team in this working environment, or
you need some team building skills.
Yes, exactly.
I think I just need the CDL and work on my own. I think that's the name of the game. I think I've just found this solution, and I've been thinking it for a while. I don't work well with people.
That's fair.
I really don't.
That's fair.
I am, and it kills me because I genuinely do like people.
Now, do you think that it's you say you don't work well with people? I disagree with you on that one. Mm-hmm. I think that it's in your own mind that you feel like you don't disagree, that you don't work well with people. I think it's you put that barrier up yourself, and the different perspective on the coworker is that, hey, I think you and I work very well together, even though you're thinking that no, we don't like each other at all. So, you got a final thought? Because I know.
No,
you can't go.
No. Yeah, I'm genuinely interested in this.
Yeah, me too.
Do you have a final thought in it? Well, then let me just tell you this. Even though you may like working alone, there is, in my perspective, there's always going to be a little bit of each individual that wants to work with others. Because there is this built-in tendency to want to work together as a team. Now, you may disagree with that, and that's absolutely your choice, but... That's what I think. That I genuinely think that there's something within our DNA that says we need to work together. You know, the whole building walls thing, that simply may just be a personal preference. And to tear those walls down may just be one of those things. Chances are that isn't going to happen in the workplace. That's going to have to be something that happens outside the workplace. So
Pretty Lake.
What is this Pretty Lake thing you keep mentioning? So, you keep saying that like that's something we're supposed to know what that is. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a campsite that it's a campsite that has high ropes courses and different courses.
A campground
that has high rope courses and different like team building exercises that you can do.
Yeah,
as team like. One of them is like you get over a wall and it's a high ass wall and you have to pretty much like trust your team to be able to methodically get the last person off or over the wall, and they're just different little courses around it. It's a team building exercise. It's called Pretty Lake. You should check it out. PrettyLake.com. No sponsor. Okay, Josh. I know you're giggling.
Okay, so
hold on. Let me get my timer.
Oh, sorry.
Let me get my timer. Because, time is.
Okay, so as you guys know, I have been slowly trying to enjoy the new Boba Fett series, which is a new live action Star Wars series on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Each episode gets progressively worse, and which is a super disappointment to me. However, episode 5 came out this week, and it was the best episode out of the entire series so far. And it had nothing to do with Boba Fett. It literally was Mandalorian sneak peek at his next series. Mm. It was fucking fantastic. And I didn't realize how much I had missed the Mandalorian character and his show and everything. Until this episode, I was like, fuck, I need more of that shit in my life. And it was fantastic. I literally sat there with a grin on my face for the entire fucking episode. It was so, and like, and the best part about this, they had all these Easter eggs that, unless you're like a fan, none of it makes any sense. In season 2 of The Mandalorian, he lost his ship, which the Razor Crest. He lost that, so he has to get a new one. And so the one that he gets is technically a old, repurposed Naboo starfighter, which only was shown in, or was featured mostly in episode 1 of the Star Wars movies. But he fixed it up to, like, make it his own, which makes it that much more badass, which is really cool. There's a droid that's in it that was only seen in a video game, which is super fucking cool. I mean, just all these little tidbits, and it was one thing after another. I got at the end of it, I was so fucking excited. I'm like, dude, this was the best fucking episode, and it had nothing to do with the actual series itself.
Damn, wasn't it just last week that you said it was a big disappointment for you, Boba Fett, the series was?
Yes.
And now it's on the up? Well, and it wasn't even related to
no, that. Like, I try to stay optimistic, but with each episode as it went, it just progressively got more and more disappointing. It's like, okay, this is like, it should be Goodfellas, but in space. But it wasn't. All the action was so fucking slow, and just everything just felt sluggish. And it's like, dude, pick up the action or something. Have somebody, like, fucking do something crazy. One of the best things about this entire series is this alien chick who I found out recently is fucking 60 and is hotter than fuck. Damn. And it's like, I never realized I could be attracted to an alien. This series made that happen. I realized that about myself, and you know what?
No shame.
Okay. No shame. No shame. I'm okay with that. So, but this episode, it had nothing to do with Boba Fett, and it was all about Mandalorian, and it was fucking fantastic. Like, I will probably watch it again.
So, does it make Boba Fett, does it make it, the series itself, does it make it horrible? I mean, this season, does it still make it horrible, or does it make it better because of that episode?
It was a good episode.
Okay.
I'm curious to see where they take the rest of the show. I'll watch it just because I being a lifelong Star Wars fan, I'll take in whatever I can get.
Right.
So I want to see where they want to take the story. Excuse me. Whether it's any good, we'll find out when we get there. There's definitely other live action Star Wars shows that are in the works right now that I'm way more excited for. Mm-hmm. But after seeing how Boba Fett has been handled, I'm like, okay, these other shows better be handled how Mandalorian was handled, because I love Mandalorian.
What was the reviews as far as, like, were you the only, not the only one, Ozzy, but is there a common,
A large amount of Star Wars fans were perfectly fine with Mandalorian taking the stage of the Boba Fett show.
Gotcha.
Nobody argued it. They realized that, hey, this is Boba Fett. Why is Mandalorian being featured here? But it was okay because it was fucking awesome. It almost didn't make sense, but nobody cared because of how fucking much of a train wreck Boba Fett has been.
Interesting.
So, but yeah. Yeah. All right, folks.
Bubblegum.
Bubblegum. Bubblegum. Okay, so that is it for us for this episode. We will be back next week with
Final Five.
The Final Five and some maybe some other craziness. I will hopefully have a better heater by then, so it will be a little bit warmer in here for you, Micah. I'm worried about you.
I'll just dress.
No, man, we got to get a little bit more meat on your bones, man.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice to have been trying my whole life.
Well, we need to get you a lot more bread, more cheese.
Cheese.
And
cheese.
You need to put on some weight. I'm worried about you,
buddy. I'd love to.
Well, I don't think you're eating enough.
How many calories do you eat a day?
I don't know. I've never taken count.
I think you need to start counting.
And whatever you count at the end of the day.
I'm being body shamed right now. This is terrible.
No. It's not shaming. We're worried about you. Yes. This is concern. Shaming would be like, dude, you're like super fat. You know. So, but we're not doing that.
Yeah.
But it's like the same because I'm skinny.
But see, this is concern. There's a difference.
It's kind of like me concerned about your shoelaces. You know, it is your perfect right to not tie your shoelaces.
Uh-huh.
I was just concerned that you were going to step on them and accidentally hit your head on that corner table right there.
So I'm looking a little skinny, so I need to get some meat on the bone.
And tie your shoes.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. not going to fight it.
It's 2022.
I'm going to accept
it. All right, folks. That is it for us tonight. We hope you've enjoyed. We are on most of the social media, Twitter and Instagram. You know, there's a Facebook out there.
Somewhere.
So if you want to hit us up about absolutely whatever, you're more than welcome to on any of those platforms. Yes. You will recognize us with our classic WR logo. It'll be there. If it isn't, then chances are it's not us. So take that with a grain of salt.
Yes.
So, Ricardo, got any last little bits of wisdom for us?
Well, for the gals, the guys, the gals, and the non-binary pals, I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and be happy. Okay. Take every day for what it's worth, and don't look back. Don't look back. Keep moving forward.
Don't worry. Be happy.
And remember, get your pets neutered and spayed. Our population is horrible.
Peace. All right, folks, we're out.